The next time you brush your teeth, take a second and look around in there. You'll be peering into a whole little world. Scientists have identified about 400 different oral bacteria, and just like any community, there are a few troublemakers. One of them is called Streptococcus mutans. The bacterium has an appetite for refined sugars, and when it chomps on them, strep mutans turns them into lactic acid. That acid then in turn breaks down tooth enamel and leads to decay. Strep mutans' role as an oral malcontent has made it the subject of much research. About 25 years ago, University of Florida researcher Jeffrey Hillman was doing some tests on the bacterium when he stumbled across an odd-looking group of the microbes.
And it turned out that they were mutants of Streptococcus mutans that no longer produce lactic acid. And so it occurred to me to ask whether or not these lactic acid-deficient mutants could cause tooth decay. It turned out that they couldn't, and that was the start of replacement therapy for the prevention of tooth decay.
So here's the plan for applying Dr. Hillman's research today. The non-acid-forming version of strep mutans would be added to the mouth in a sort of gentrification effort. The new bacteria are engineered to have an advantage over the old inhabitants, so after a while, the mouth would carry the relatively benign strain of the bacteria. Practically, Dr. Hillman says the treatment would be pretty simple.
The patient would have his or her teeth cleaned, just the way the teeth are always cleaned in a dental office. And then our strain would simply be squirted onto the tooth surface over a 3 to 5 minute period. And hopefully it would last the lifetime of the patient.
Where Jeffrey Hillman wants to bring in more benign neighbors to the oral hood, Leonard Hammerstrom wants to increase the police presence. Hammerstrom is a researcher at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. His team is deploying the same sort of bacteria used to make yogurt. Dr. Hammerstrom says their lactobacilli come with one small genetic change.
What we did was simply to introduce yet another gene, and this gene encodes an antibody which is directed against the anchor that keeps the strep mutans, the bacteria involved in tooth decay, anchored to the teeth. And if we can block that anchoring process, well, then the bacteria that cause tooth decay are simply washed out.
Dr. Hammerstrom says this genetic engineering trick is significant because it proves that you can use this sort of bacteria to confer what scientists call passive immunity. It's called passive because it's immunity not generated by the person who benefits from it. Dr. Hammerstrom says this concept could be extended to treat a host of diseases, from rotavirus, which causes diarrhea, to the bacterium that brings on stomach ulcers. The approaches of Drs. Hillman and Hammerstrom are part of a broader scientific movement to work cooperatively with bacteria. Dr. Denis Svitkovich is an oral microbiologist at the University of Toronto. He's working on a way of keeping strep mutans from forming tough structures called biofilms, which you're probably most familiar with as dental plaque. Dr. Svitkovich says these cooperative approaches aim to tread more lightly on the oral environment.
So this strategy is to not wipe out all of the bacteria, but to simply alter the structure of the community so that it is not a disease-causing community, which is probably a strategy we're going to see a lot more of, where the normal flora is not disrupted to the extent it is with antibiotics.
Dr. Svitkovich says the ability to lay off the antibiotics is welcome because increasing numbers of bacteria are developing resistance to the drugs. Of course, anytime scientists start altering genes, there are concerns about what unintended consequences might follow. What looks like the wonder cure of today could be released into the wild only to become a problem down the road. Leonard Hammerstrom acknowledges the concerns, but he says what he and other researchers are doing is just a more efficient form of what's already been happening.
We have been selecting for strains that had the desired capabilities, and we've been using them for milk products, we've been using them for other food products, and I think that the bacteria that we started out with some 10,000 years ago bear rather little resemblance to what we actually have today. The difference is that what we do today is that within a year we can do what took nature and our selection processes maybe 100 years to do before.
All three scientists agree there's no guarantee that genetic alterations will be absolutely safe, but they're trying hard to reduce the risk. In the case of Jeffrey Hillman, the test versions of his bacteria will carry a dependence on a special nutrient subjects will be taking. Without regular doses of the nutrient, the test bacteria will die. In the end, Dr. Hammerstrom says you balance the potential risks and benefits.
There is 800,000 children dying from rotavirus every year. Now, that makes one or two children per minute. dying of rotavirus infection, and there's no vaccine on the market. So I think we should add up the pluses and minuses when we consider using genetically modified microorganisms.
Leonard Hammerstrom says the approval process for his lactobacilli could take between 5 and 10 years. Jeffrey Hillman says he hopes to get his non-acid-forming strep mutans into clinical trials by the fall, and if everything goes well, the treatment could be on the market in 2 years. For The Health Show, I'm Greg Dahlman.